Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gruberti.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gruberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. For episode 51 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about scheduling your dreams with our guest, Leanne R. Grant. Leanne has a knack for finding the most efficient ways to accomplish a task with excellence. Her experience in fulfilling the responsibilities of multiple roles has helped her hone her planning and productivity skills into a highly efficient personal time management system. She just recently published her new book, Schedule Your Dreams, 8 Steps to Maximizing Your Time and Mobilizing Your Vision, which explores her mindset and how you, too, can schedule your dreams. And now, it is my pleasure to welcome Leanne to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for that great introduction, and I'm really honored to be on your show.
Leanne, it's a pleasure to have you here, and I really love the idea of scheduling your dreams because I feel like people don't really think about scheduling their dreams. They just think about going through the day-to-day motions, thinking that these dreams feel so far off. But before we go deep into the whole philosophies of your book, what inspired you to write your book, Schedule Your Dreams?
Well, there are two reasons, really, and you've already hit on the first one. I've met so many people that have a really great idea or they're passionate about something, at least they say they're passionate about it, but they just never seem to follow through. And so even though they have amazing potential and great intentions, nothing ever comes of their idea. So I felt like if I were able to tell my own story about following my dream, even when I thought I didn't have any time, then maybe that would inspire other people to mobilize their own dream. And the second reason is that I lead a group of volunteer translators, and we don't really have any operating funds. We give away our translations, and it's just kind of a community service. And so I'm trying to create some passive income for that group so that we can continue our work. So although we've published probably about 20 translations, I had never really published my own book, and that's always been a dream of mine as long as I can remember. I'm a reader. Ever since I was a kid, I have been an avid reader, and I thought someday I'm going to write a book, and I'm turning 50 this year, so I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do it, now is the time to do it. So I was really happy to actually get it published on Amazon before my 50th birthday.
And that's really awesome how your book, Schedule Your Dream, teaches people how to schedule it. But by publishing your book, you are also fulfilling your own dream, which I find is a really sweet added part to that story of how you've published your book, which obviously is a lot of work. But when it comes to dreams, such as publishing your own book, some people, they don't believe in themselves when it comes to their dreams. They're just doing the grind, as we mentioned before, and they're thinking, oh, gosh, this dream. So how can we believe in our dreams?
Well, in the first chapter of my book, I talk about how important it is to justify your dream. Before you actually get started on it, you have to go through that mental process where you distinguish between all your good ideas and the thing that is really your life passion, something that you'd be willing to work at for the rest of your life. And it's really that inner motivation that will keep you believing in your dream, even when you run into obstacles or opposition, because inevitably that is going to happen.
And I definitely agree that those obstacles are going to show up. And when those obstacles do show up, you really have to obviously push and make that dream, like put in the work despite what the obstacles could be. And one of the tactics you discuss in your book that can help with that is finding a way to literally keep your dream in sight. So can you just briefly share with us why we should do that, keep the dream in sight, and but also how we can keep the dream in sight?
Okay, well, as you mentioned at the beginning, it's really easy to get caught up in our day-to-day and just going through the motions. So I think we need to be reminded every single day about our dream and our passion. It's too easy to forget about it when we're busy. So I think we have so many regular responsibilities and life just keeps getting busier and busier for most of us. Also, trivia, or what we might call busy work, can kind of expand to fill all of the free time that we have. So if we don't put a cap on it and say, I'm done with that work now, and now I'm going to work on my dream, then we're just never going to get around to it. So we need a daily reminder, something that's in front of us all the time, to show us it's important to stop the trivia and the busy work and work on our dream. So there are different ways we could do this. What I do is I have a glass bookcase in my home office, and it has three shelves in it. The top shelf has some kind of promo products or memorabilia, I might say, that have the logo of our translation group on them. And then the second shelf has books that we've already translated. And the last shelf has books that we're going to translate next. So when I walk into my home office, the first thing I see is some inspiration. That's the promo products. And then I see some celebration, the things we've already accomplished, and some motivation, what we still have to do. So that's how I stay motivated personally. But it doesn't have to be that complex or elaborate. It could be as simple as a poster, a mural on your wall, even the wallpaper you use on your computer screen could be something that reminds you about your dream. Just something that you're going to see every single day to keep it in front of you.
And I really love how easy and simple it is to keep your dream in sight. Like changing the computer wallpaper is as easy as it gets, and also a poster that you just keep in sight. And it just reinforces the concept that, hey, you can do this, and this is what you should actually be doing. So I really love that tidbit in your book. And another tidbit you mentioned is that every minute spent planning your time, well, I mean, every minute you spend planning, your time pays itself back in dividends. And I was wondering how we can create more effective plans that allow us to take action towards our dreams. So how do we make that more effective plan?
Okay, so just to explain what I meant by that in my book, I have found that if I take just a few minutes in the morning to plan out my day, I'm much more focused, and I, you know, conservatively speaking, I get at least an extra hour's work done if I take that few minutes to plan it. So I'm actually gaining time by doing that. When you're busy, sometimes it's hard to say, okay, rather than diving right in, I'm going to stop and plan it out. But it really, really does pay itself back. And chapter 4 of my book talks also about planning your work based on seasons, weeks, and days. And this is actually a system that I've been developing over the past couple of years for myself to make my own days more effective. I've also created a customized, I guess you would call it a life planner, that I use instead of trying to buy an agenda at the bookstore and make my life fit into the categories they've already decided. And I actually wanted to include that topic in Schedule Your Dream, but I realized that in order to do it justice, it really needs to be a separate book. So book 2 is already in progress. I'm planning to release it before Christmas, since I think it would be really helpful to people who are really thinking about time management and New Year's resolutions and all those things. So I'm thinking of calling it Schedule Your Life, but we'll see how that works out.
Well, best of luck with your second book. It's really awesome that you've written this book and now you're going to write another book. I mean, I feel like once you write one book, I mean, you just want to keep writing more and more. I mean, I don't want to drift too far, but I did want to throw that out there. But when it comes to accomplishing our dreams, there are certain tasks that we do in a given day that don't really help us accomplish those dreams. And I'm wondering, how can we filter out the tasks that don't get us closer to our dreams?
Well, that's something that is very difficult to do, but very important. I've been working on this actually for a long time in my own life. But in the last year or so, I discovered a tool that has really helped me. And it was in a book by Rory Vaden called Procrastinate on Purpose. So Rory Vaden has this tool that he calls a focus funnel. So what he suggests is that you take everything that's on your to-do list and ask yourself, can it be, number one, eliminated, number two, automated, number three, delegated, and number four is, can it be procrastinated on purpose? And by that, he means you wait until a more appropriate time to do it. And so everything that's left would fall hopefully into the category of number five, where you would concentrate on that task until you got it done. But you first apply all those other filters so that you're actually working on what's most important that day. So, and I found this isn't something you can just do once for your schedule and then move on. It has to become a daily practice because we're just constantly inundated with ideas, with tasks from every direction, calls, texts, emails, meetings, news. So if we don't keep our eyes on our top priority, then we're just going to be distracted and we'll say that we don't have time for our dream, but it's actually that we're too distracted to work on our dream.
And that segues into my next question, because distractions are something that play a big role. I mean, you could be writing a book, then bam, you get an email and you're in your inbox. And I mean, this happens to everyone, where it's inbox or Facebook or whatever it is, we're in a world of distractions. So, I mean, you've written a book on scheduling our dreams, and the act of writing a book alone, you have to be really honed in. So how can we stay focused in a world of distractions?
Well, I'm actually old enough to say that 20 years ago, it was a lot easier. I didn't have a cell phone 20 years ago. I didn't have email 20 years ago. And personal computers were just becoming popular. So the ironic thing is, before computers, it took a lot longer to do your work, especially paperwork. And so you would think that we would be more effective now because we have these tools. But actually, there's just so much more distractions. And our human brain, if we don't discipline it to focus, it will just go in all directions at once. So basically, we have to start by eliminating any visual or audio distraction that we can. Now, for me, that's to turn off all the noises and icon notifications on my computer and devices. Because if I'm deep into a translation project or writing on my book, and I see that little thing that pops up that says I have an email, you know, it seems like it's just a glance, it's just a second, but I want to read that email. So the only way I can keep focusing is to not have those notifications, not have a little ding when I have an email arrive, things like that. So I found that that really helps. Also, keeping my desk free of clutter, not just my actual desk, but also my computer desktop. It's easy to let things accumulate on there, folders and icons. And when you have something like a wallpaper that's peaceful or something like that, it's a lot easier to concentrate on your work. So, but also as much as possible, we need to try to protect our working environment from interruptions. Now, that can vary widely depending on where you work. Now, I'm happy to have a home office, so I have a little more control over that. But even if you work in a cubicle or a, you know, a large company, there are ways to deal with that. If you're allowed to wear headphones, even if you're not playing anything, it signals to people I'm busy, or, you know, I can't talk to you right now. But if all else fails, really, we just have to discipline our brain to concentrate on the work at hand. So it's this ability, really, it's like a muscle that gets stronger the more we use it. So you're not going to, if you're just starting to do that, maybe a minute will be all you can handle, but over time it will get better. And so another book that I read recently was The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And they talk a lot about focus and how important it is and different ways that you can achieve it. So when I was writing my book, basically I started getting up earlier. And I took an hour in the morning to write part of a chapter. And during that hour, my email was not open. Facebook is not open. My office door is closed. There is nothing to distract me. It's too early to get phone calls. And so I could just lock in. And it's actually quite amazing how much work you can produce when nothing is distracting you.
And I really love that idea of the amount of work you can produce when nothing's distracting you, because I mean, distractions, they really do play a part in our lives, sadly. And it's just having that discipline, as you mentioned before, to say, no, I'm going to stay away from the Facebook or the YouTube or whatever it may be. And waking up very early when none of those are options, that is a very brilliant strategy for getting that work done. But some people, they see their dream and they see everything else that surrounds it, and they feel overwhelmed by responsibilities. Like, some people have a 9-to-5, other people, maybe they've just become parents. So how can we pursue our dreams even when we feel overwhelmed by our responsibilities?
Well, it's a natural phenomenon that as time goes on, we have more responsibilities. As children, and even as teenagers, remember, we had a lot of free time, at least it seemed like it. But when we become adults, and especially when we start families, then free time becomes a rare commodity. So we end up trying to juggle everything and thinking, well, I'm never, ever going to have any time for what's important to me because I have to do all these other things. So that dream gets pushed to the back of our mind sometimes. But I think every so often we just need to take some time alone to take a really hard look at our life and at our schedule. Some people call this a personal retreat that they do every year, but we need to reevaluate what we're involved in and maybe pare some things back if it's necessary. Or at the very least, we need to establish a policy that we're not going to add any more activities or obligations. So if we do want to do something different, it should be a question of replacing, not adding. So if there's something we really, really want to do, what are we willing to stop doing so that we can do that new thing? And that's really the only way to avoid just getting busier and busier, working harder and harder, and eventually burning out. But in the case of someone who says, legitimately, I have no time for my dream, they can't just stop adding responsibilities. They're going to have to take something out of their schedule and not replace it with another activity, but save that time, set it apart for their dream. So what they would have to do basically is, hopefully, and we already talked about justifying their dream. So they've already decided it's really important. So maybe in their mind, they've got an idea, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, my dream is an 8, just for example, because family and things like that would be above it. So then they should take a look at every activity in their schedule and maybe give it a number two. And if they could find something that's lower than 8 that they could remove without any serious repercussions, then that's where they could find some time for their dream. So really, it's all about priorities.
Leanne, thank you for sharing with us how we can, despite feeling overwhelmed by responsibility, which I feel like many people, I mean, we'll never have enough time in the day, but by choosing what we do and identifying priorities, that's going to help us get on the path to our dream, which is something that I believe we should all be on the path to that. And one of the things that can really help you on the path is something that you mentioned in your book, is to delegate some of the tasks that either keep you away from your dream or parts of your dream that like you know how to do them, but you would just rather outsource them to someone else. So with that in mind, how can we find the courage to delegate some of our tasks? Because obviously for some people, it's a big step to give their work to someone else.
Yes. And I still am having some trouble with delegating. I'm making progress because I know if I really want to be effective, I have to do it. And I just found when I was starting to delegate, there were three obstacles that I had. Now, first of all, there's this thought that nobody else can do it the way that I would do it. And you know what? That's absolutely true, because everybody is unique. But if someone could do it that had more time for it than you do, they might end up doing a better job. And so we don't need to be afraid of delegating, because it's going to bring more value to our work in the long run. But the second thing was being concerned about other people's opinions. That if we start asking people to do things for us, that they'll think we're lazy or we just don't want to do the work ourselves. We just want to sit back and see the results. But we need to just stop worrying about that, because people who really understand business, who understand efficiency, they are completely going to understand why we're delegating. So as long as we're clear on the reasons for it and our motives, then we need to stop stressing about what other people think. And the third thing is that we think we can't afford to delegate. And so, for example, if someone's starting a business, money is tight, and they just think delegating, paying someone to do some things for me, is just an extra expense that I can't afford right now. But I talk about this in my book. There are some ways to delegate that will not actually cost you extra money. For example, friends, family, students that need experience on their resume. Remember how hard it was to get that first job because you had no experience? So there are students willing to work for free. And in exchange, you would give them a reference letter and later they can get a job that pays them. And also, we need to do the math about the financial gain that results when we invest our own time more in highly productive activities and delegate the more basic tasks to others. Sometimes it pays for itself very, very quickly. So I don't think we need to be afraid of delegating. I think it's an opportunity, not something to be scared of.
And I really do view delegation as an opportunity. It's obviously scary when you first jump in because it's something completely different from everything else you've been doing, but it does open a door to all those opportunities, as Leanne shared with us. And she shared a lot of great insights with us throughout this episode. We're going to dive into the second part of this interview, which are a bunch of questions I like to ask to give us a better idea of how to conquer challenges and just some resources we can use to continue our learning. So Leanne, what is one big challenge you have faced in your journey? And can you share a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
Okay. The biggest obstacle that I faced in my dream of establishing a team of volunteer translators, it actually involved a bias about the idea of your mother tongue. So my dream was actually motivated by a need for French materials in our nonprofit. But from the very beginning of my educational path towards my goal, I had to constantly fight back against the idea that an English person should not translate into French or into any other language. The university told me that you have to translate into your mother tongue so you can follow the translation program from French to English. And I said, what good will that do me? We need French materials, not English materials. Now, this was really hard for me because I'm not a confrontational type person. I like to just get along with everybody. I don't usually resist just for the sake of resisting. So, you know, at times I wanted to give up because this was ongoing for years. I just had to keep fighting for it. Even when they let me into the program, they didn't want me to tell anybody that they had allowed me to follow the French translation program. So there was a lot of bias. But, you know, the passion for my dream was really a powerful motivator. I knew what my goal was. I knew I needed training to get there. And my logical mind told me that language ability is directly tied to the amount of time that you invest in learning the language. So, I mean, that's pretty basic. An English adult speaks better English than a child does, right? Because they've spent more time studying the language. So I told myself, regardless of what the professors say, I can be as good in French as the amount of time I'm willing to invest in studying it. That was my logic. So, and I understood their rationale that it was going to take me longer to learn how to translate into French than it would for a French person because I was lacking what they call native speaker intuition. And that's just when you might not remember the grammar rules, but you could hear a sentence and say, no, we don't say it that way. Even if you couldn't explain why, your intuition or your experience with the language would identify that that's not how we say it. So I had to build that in French, and it took years and years. But in spite of what they told me, it was not impossible. And here's the ironic thing, is that I found out later that this is actually a North American bias about translation. In Europe, for example, people translate back and forth between two or three, maybe more languages. It's very common. It's quite accepted. For some reason in Canada and the United States, we've decided that you should only translate into your mother tongue. Now, I know that's very specific to the area that I work in, but the principle is, if I had abandoned my dream just because of someone else's bias or opinion, I never would have achieved my goal. But because I ignored those opinions and followed my passion, I was able to establish my team to become quite good at translating into French. And I'm just glad that I persevered and didn't let that discourage me.
Leanne, thank you for sharing with us one of the big challenges you faced and the lesson you were able to learn during that challenge. And that is interesting, something that I didn't think was an issue, but obviously, I mean, they want you to specifically do in your mother tongue, but you were able to overcome that. And one of the things that we talked about earlier within the episode where we mentioned a few books, obviously Schedule Your Dream. And we also talked about The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And then we also talked about Procrastinate on Purpose. So one of the questions I like to ask people are for three great book recommendations other than the ones that we already made. So do you have any great books on the top of your head that would be great for Breakthrough Success listeners?
Yes, there's actually a second book by Rory Vaden that I really like. It's called Take the Stairs. And it's really for anyone who's intimidated about all the work and time and effort that's involved in pursuing their dream. It's basically a book about not expecting a shortcut, but committing to something for the long haul and really, instead of hopping in the elevator or even the escalator, take the stairs. Put the energy that you need into what you really feel strongly about. But for others who think maybe they still don't have any time for their dream, I would suggest either The 5 a.m. Miracle by Jeff Sanders or The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And those were two books that helped me realize that if I could just get up earlier, I could get more done in those productive morning hours. Now, I know a lot of people say, I'm going to get up earlier, but really there's two parts to that. You can say it and you can do it for a few days, but if you don't also go to bed earlier, you're just going to give up because you'll be too tired. So it wasn't just a question of getting up an hour earlier. It was a question of going to bed an hour earlier the night before as well. And I guess that was really three, but I do have another one I'd like to mention.
Go for it.
If you're serious about building time in your schedule for your dream, you really need to read The 12-Week Year by Brian P. Moran and Michael Lennington. And that's the book where I discovered the power of seasonal planning. So basically in that book, he talks about how companies make their annual goals and everyone's all excited about them. And then they go back to their jobs and they ignore them till about October. And then they think, oh, I only have 3 months left to do what I agreed to do. And they pull it off in 3 months. So he said, well, if you can accomplish your goals in 3 months, then why not make them every 3 months instead of once a year? And you get four times as much done that year. So I started using that a few months ago, and because I'm involved in university teaching and as a student in my doctoral thesis, I decided to, instead of 12 weeks, I use the academic semesters for my seasons, and that works really well. So now I've gone through two seasons where, you know, we're just going into the fall ones, and I'm looking back at the goals that I wrote at the beginning of each season and the ones I was able to accomplish. And I think it's about 80-90%, which, you know, it'd be nice to have 100%. But if I had not written those down, how many of them would I have done? Maybe 30-40%. So it's a pretty powerful tool.
Leanne, thank you for all those great book recommendations. The 12-Week Year was one of the first productivity books I ever read. So I'm really happy you were able to recommend that one to Breakthrough Success listeners. And obviously, I've been asking you a lot of questions throughout this interview, but I'm wondering, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think every day we should ask ourselves, what can I do today to further my dream? So the title of my book, Schedule Your Dream, it was designed to make people attach an active verb, the verb schedule, to an abstract concept, their dream. And it's really about a paradigm shift, taking something far off that we might describe with the words someday, hopefully, or I wish, and transforming it into a current action that we intentionally incorporate into this season's calendar, into this week's agenda, into today's schedule. No more excuses. So what can I do today to further my dream?
That is a really awesome question, Leanne, and you provided us with a lot of great insights. So right now, I'm going to give you the spotlight and just let Breakthrough Success listeners know where they can find you on the web.
Okay. Well, in addition to my Amazon author page, I also have a Facebook author page. If you search Leanne R. Grant, so that's L-I-A-N-E, and then the R is there just because there is another Leanne Grant who is an actress, so you might find her if you don't put the R in. But we're also developing a website, leannergrant.com, L-I-A-N-E-R-G-R-A-N-T.com. And if you go to that website, you can download the free dream planner that goes with the book Schedule Your Dream. And you can also sign up for a mailing list to hear about future materials, including the book number 2 that I've mentioned about creating a customized life planner. So if you sign up for a mailing list, when we release that second book, we're going to do a very low price promo for the first 100 or 200 people who download it. So if you want to be the first to hear about that, sign up for our mailing list at leannergrant.com.
Leanne, thank you for sharing those resources and where we can find you on the web. Breakthrough Success listeners, you can go to markguberti.com/E51. If you want to learn more about Leanne's site and also subscribe definitely to get updated about her new book when it comes out. Leanne, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Potential today.
Want me to mention you in a future episode? All you have to do is leave a quick review for my podcast on iTunes and email me, mark@markguberti.com. I'll then mention you and your website in a future episode. You can leave that review by heading over to markguberti.com/iTunes.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.